And we are off to a rousing start. This is a Stunk Grammy Audio number 125. Welcome to the celebration, everyone. I am Jeremy. This week, for a special occasion, is Mr. Kevin. Hello, Kevin.
Wow, I get a proper introduction, I suppose.
Yeah.
Woohoo, party!
Yep.
And what our goal is, well, yeah, it's only a rough 125 because, well, we never numbered pay-per-view previews or, like, pay-per-view reviews, I don't think.
Yeah, we didn't, or special editions, none of that stuff. So, because those are always considered,
special?
Like, special, yeah. For lack of a better word. And if you listen to them, they were hosted by special guys. So, but yeah. So, this is Stunt Granny Audio by title, number 125. So, we've made it this far, which is pretty shocking. And I wish we had a better show for you, but we just simply don't. Because TNA had a pay-per-view. WWE hit kind of a weird spot this week. And the Hardy Brothers are in the news again. So, you know, if that's not enough to whet your appetite, Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't know, wet your whistle. Okay. So that's not enough to wet your appetite, then
W-A-T-E.
I don't know what the fuck you want. Yes. How do you spell doozy? Wait a minute. I forgot to ask you this. You know, you say, wow, that was sure is a doozy. Is it D-O-O-Z-I-E?
Yeah, that's how I've always spelled it.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. There's nothing interesting behind that. I was just wondering. So.
Yeah. Well, hey, this is our first show of the brand new spanking year of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
The year of another WrestleMania for us.
Yeah. Thank you. Wow. Poured. I saw your comment on Facebook because, you know, we're down with the technology. And, wow, poor Lisa has no clue what she's getting into. And I've tried to warn her. I mean, I've done my best. So all she hears is we go drinking after the show. Oh, okay. I don't think she understands the commitment that's involved in this. So I got 3 months or so to brace her, but especially with the latest development, I'm not even going to bother telling her about. We'll just drive into Atlanta early on Friday, and I'll take her somewhere she wants to go. And then go, by the way, remember that show we saw on HBNet? We're going to go to one of those. Well, wait a minute, you didn't say anything positive about it. Yeah, well, we're still going to go anyway. So I'm hoping that they pull in Dragon Gate for a Ring of Honor. But no, they can't because there's actually Dragon Gate USA. Shit, I just thought of that.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that, honestly. I mean, the wrestling is usually fine. I don't know. Because when I watch down at your place, I don't get HDNet on my from WoW, so I can't watch it. And you know, it's not worse than TNA.
No, it's just, I think Ring of Honor's thing is their core fans have left. I mean, we can talk about this for a little bit. The Ring of Honor's core fans have left. It reminds me almost like ECW. Once all those guys started leaving, those fans started leaving. And when they had Steve Corino main event and stuff, it was like, well, I don't really want to see Steve Corino, though. And pulled in Rhino and all those guys. And that's what Ring of Honor seems to be doing. That's why I didn't really care if we win or not. But, you know, we're going to go one day at least. But no, I mean, just looking from, it's Ring of Honor's fault. They didn't develop the people that they should have, or they just never brought in the names that they should have. And now knowing Kevin Steen's no longer in Ring of Honor.
Oh, he left too.
I don't know. Well, yeah, that loser leaves Ring of Honor between him and El Generico. That was Steen's last date. They're not going to bring him in much anymore, if ever. Because, you know, that makes a lot of sense.
Let's not bring in probably your best wrestler.
Well, the other problem, too, is that Generico just had a tryout match with TNA, a dark match. So I mean, I don't see Generico being a big draw for TNA, which we can get into later, but, you know.
Right.
Money's money. If he's going to get less dates and he can work weekends like he usually does, you got to go now with the landscape the way it is. So, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And then Ring of Honor losing its TV deal in April isn't – there's no way to positively spin that. If a network no one watches doesn't want you on their network, that's bad news. I've tried to think of a positive way to spin it. I don't see how you can spin it positively.
Well, unless they get a better contract with a bigger name, I mean, that's the only positive thing that can come out of that is that not a lot of people have HDNet. So,
yes. Well, you can look at it that way, but it's not a case of Ring of Honor shopping their show around like WWE did or TNA does, if you want to say they did that. This network going, we don't want you. So, I mean, I could see if there was a demand out there, like, oh, you don't want us? Well, these guys want us. So, but, I don't know. I guess we can talk about that at a later date. So, let's start. I don't know. We have two ways to go. And since we're actually having a civil, like, decent conversation, let's start with WWE. And then we can just fall apart talking about TNA after this. It's easier to rebound. No, I'm sorry. There's no need to rebound after a horrible talk about TNA than there is to talk about WWE and their flaws and what's going on, or, you know, that's how I look at it. There's no need for a rebound. It's just whatever. So, all right, let's start with the big angle, and it's not Shawn Michaels. To me, it's not. We talked about a little bit CM Punk and the Nexus angle that ran pretty much the entire show. I told you and I told Eric the same thing. That was just an awkward show. Everything about the show was awkward. Nothing flowed very well at all.
Yeah, it seemed like, I mean, okay, Punk's the new leader. I understand he wants to impart some type of fealty to him.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, these kind of pointless just-get-your-ass-kicked things seem really strange to me. You know, why don't you try, like, okay, they had Otunga go out there and take out, or try to take out. No, just let his ass get beat by Big Show.
Yeah.
That just doesn't make any sense. Now, CM Punk has a history with Big Show from SmackDown. He would want him to be beat up if he's making a special guest appearance on Raw. So, for your initiation, why wouldn't you say, hey, my last crew was a bunch of fucking sissies. Let's go out there and do the right thing on Big Show. And just take him out. Surely someone would get hurt. And then you'd also, you know, find out who to kick out, I guess. You know, whoever gets their ass handed to them the quickest or something. Like,
okay.
You know, like, I guess I
can get behind, huh?
Yeah,
right.
Or something similar to that. Like, just receiving an ass-kicking just to receive an ass-kicking doesn't seem like it, you know, it's going to do much.
Okay. I think you're actually getting at two different things. Well, I don't know. If they had established in the show that if they had established in the beginning that it was going to be a group thing, like when he said, you know, everyone has to show their loyalty, I think if they would have done without Michael McGillicuddy getting beat up very first segment, Husky Harris was after that, wasn't he? I remember right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Harris, Husky, then it went David Otunga and then Gabriel and Slater. I think if that would have been first and they all would have beaten him up and then Michael McGillicuddy was the guy that, you know, if everyone else would have, I'm trying to think. Because
I mean, I understood, I guess my whole thing is here, is I understood what was going on and why he wanted Tatanka to go out there. Because Big Show is always treated by the lower card wrestlers as unbeatable. And that, oh, it's inevitable they're always going to get their ass beat. So, because if it was a higher card wrestler like Randy Orton, Punk himself, any of those guys, Punk would have, you know, that wrestler would have gone and go, okay, yeah, it's a challenge, I'll take it on. Instead, Otunga hangs his head and goes out there and just willingly just gets his ass beat. Now, unless they said something beforehand, like, all you're going to do is go out there and get your head handed to you. You're not supposed to fight back. As a way of, like, showing, you know, pleasure and their loyalty. But I mean, that goes back to what you were saying, that it didn't make sense because that little segment never happened. Where Punk should have had a beef with Big Show and told him, yeah, go beat his ass. I think I talked that back around. I know I talked for a while, so.
No. I just think that there should have been something from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, all it did was show that Otunga is following yet another person. In the long run, that's all it's going to show. Which doesn't make sense right now at all.
Yeah, because he was really angling to be the leader himself.
Yeah.
Why would there be anyone that would, you know, want to follow, or why would he want to follow anyone else?
Yep. Exactly.
That's the other part that just specifically for him is really weird. It's just like, okay, he did all this stuff, and then he's just going to go get his ass beat. Like, he just got his ass beat for no reason with the whole John Cena thing. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. You know, Barrett said that he was going to lead them in the right direction and help rid them of Cena or whatever. And some overall goal that they never specified, which was probably better off than actually specifying it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess that's part of the awkwardness of this whole Nexus angle right now. I mean, you had Michael McGillicuddy just getting his ass beat, and the one thing I liked in the opening segment. If they're going to do this stuff, all right, we just have to accept what happened for this to make any sense. With Husky Harris playing it up, Husky Harris doing his job and playing it up that he didn't want to do this because him and, you know, from what long-time viewing gives you, these two came in together, you know?
Oh, right.
And I thought the announcers could have done a much better job of it. Of saying, you know, of getting over the conflicting nature of Harris's thoughts in it, because they needed something to tell you, you know, just even remind them of NXT. It's like, yeah, these two have been together since the NXT. They came to Wade Barrett together to take out John Cena. These two are the best of friends. You know, just even if it's small, basic stuff like that. I just thought it was the announcer's duty to try and get that over, to make that part of it seem more real or have a longer-lasting effect.
Yeah, well, you know, it's too much. Michael Cole couldn't put himself over for that angle, so, you know, why explain it?
Yeah. I mean, I try not to take that approach because apparently McMahon wasn't feeding him that line. They couldn't get that over. I mean, they couldn't get that over. And I thought that was a disappointment. And that might have actually helped the rest of the angle for the rest of the night.
Or even if they had said that, you know, they had gone through something like this, or just them in general, that, you know, they'd done enough, you know, ass-kicking or something to... Yeah, I don't know. It just seemed like there just should have been something else there, I guess.
Yeah. And I guess...
It, plus,
yeah, and,
how fucking easy did Husky Harris get off?
I don't know, dude. Those welts on his back, that was horrible. When,
I'd take that in a heartbeat over those other two punishments. Getting my ass handed to me by the Big Show with a knockout punch, quote unquote.
Yeah, true.
I'd rather have welts on my back than get my ass knocked out.
Yeah.
And then to take all those finishing maneuvers, you know, that should be more painful than a couple of whips to the back.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying it's a walk in the park or anything, but,
yeah.
You know, out of the three people, and really the whole, the kendo stick thing didn't make any sense either. It's just like, okay, fight each other with kendo sticks, and it's like, well, you can block the other guy.
Yeah. Okay, wait. You're getting ahead, because I don't want you to gloss over the strap yet.
Well,
I was calling Elise, because I agree with you on the other one. The strap part, strap matches used to mean something. I mean, they would talk about strap matches, and at house shows they'd have them. The guys would bloody themselves with those things. So, to me, I was like, that's a fitting punishment. And I know it's only welts in that, because you don't have, you know, that long to bust somebody open with it.
Right.
But, and that's why I was, and Elise kind of had the same reaction you did. And I told her, I was like, no, Manny Fernandez used to have strap matches, and the guys would be, what was the Indian dude? Is it Strongbow or Youngblood?
Yeah.
I can't think of who it is offhand, but one of those two. They used to have strap matches. They would just bloody each other.
Well,
and I know, but on a PG show, you obviously can't get that over. Now, if they would have laughed him and had a gimmick, if it was a TV-14 show, and even just a small trickle or a small break in the skin, I mean, I know for Harris, that sucked a dick, because that's going to hurt like hell, but that would have gotten it over a little bit more than, well, my back's red right now, because this thing is really bad. You know,
yeah,
does that make sense?
The one thing is, I mean, you're thinking back to, like, I honestly can't think of the last meaningful strap match, and I am definitely Sarita versus Velvet Sky from 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. There hasn't been. That's why you can't remember.
Yeah, I mean, it's at least probably been a good decade since a decent strap match. So,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of hard to get too wound up, at least from that aspect of it. It's like, okay, whatever. Like, to me, it almost doesn't mean anything now. It doesn't remind me of those matches or anything like that. So.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's go on to the third part of this thing. The Slater, Gabriel, you're exactly right. All they had to do was just block the goddamn stick and you don't have to worry about it. So it would have been like, just, as Eric likes to say, two monkeys fucking a football, basically.
So
go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and it's not like we're going to get, like, excellent swordsmanship out of these two idiots or something. They're not in Tego Montoya. they have not killed anybody's father, and they are not prepared to die.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever. We're not really going to see. We're going to see two idiots swinging sticks at each other.
In a locker room with limited movement. Yeah, in a low ceiling.
Yeah, like, I'd be more entertained if my two dogs picked up sticks and started attacking each other with them.
Actually, that'd be hilarious and adorable as well. Because you know they just have to mouth them. So they just be, like, trying to move their heads back. That'd be great. Holy shit, that'd be funny. but, yeah, okay. So when they decide not to hit each other and walk off, Punk gave them a smirk, like, eh, okay? So I was like, okay. That kind of makes sense. Well, then Punk comes out later in the segment. He's on top of the Titantron, which was just awkward. And that's the only thing I can do to explain this stuff. It was just awkward to me. He does that weird segment that he'd like me to jump. Why? And I guess I don't understand the point why he would jump off the Titantron for Nexus.
Yeah, that part didn't make any sense. He's the leader, so why does he need to do anything? Again, you kind of go back to that whole deal. What the fuck else? I don't know. Why was he up there in the first place, I guess?
Yeah. No, that's a perfectly good question.
I kind of liked the outcome with him, I guess for lack of a better word, punking out the audience. But even then, like you mentioned it, he goes, "Oh, you guys want me to jump?" And like only the announcers were like, "Don't do it, punk." Like the whole crowd's like, "Jump, jump!" And it's so like him punking them out. He goes, "You thought I was gonna jump, didn't you?" And the whole crowd's like, "We were hoping you would, but they're probably stupid enough to think that he would." But
yeah, I remember the audience. Yeah, but, okay, but even then, what does that accomplish? I guess that was my problem. Was all right.
Yeah.
No, you're not right. It didn't accomplish shit. So
yeah, and
the reason I say it didn't accomplish shit was. Punk gets down, has the harness on, blah, 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 gets in the ring, and he has the other three guys join him. And he goes, "You know, I don't want someone, you think I would do something that irrational or that I would allow myself to be put in that sort of position?" Basically talking about the three guys behind him. That's how I took it. Because he's like, "Okay, McGillis, you let yourself get beat up? Harris, you let me whip you or something? Tunga, I told you to go in there and get your ass handed to you? And you idiots blindly listen to me?" That's what I thought he was going to do. And then Slater and Gabriel were going to come out and beat the bejesus out of the three of them. Instead, it was just, "Okay, yeah, I'm not better wrestling. Let's go, guys." And I just turned the leaf. I was like, that was pointless. That whole thing was pointless.
Wow, I did not even think about the angle running that way, but that would have made a shit ton more sense.
I mean, dude, I don't know if you can go back and watch it again. Listen to everything he's saying. He's talking about the three guys behind him doing irrational shit without thinking of consequences or worrying about consequences or anything. I'm like, who the fuck's going to attack these guys? Half expecting Barrett and the joints later in, what's his name? Gabriel.
Gabriel.
Yeah. Instead, nothing happened. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on with this show? Because we've already gone through Alberto Del Rio losing or winning by count out. And then listening to Ricardo sing La Cucaracha. And then Shawn Michaels being wasted, coming out and getting super kicking Del Rio, just all sorts of stupid shit on Raw, and that was just like the pinnacle for me. I didn't even care about the main event at that point. I was like, you can only watch so many Jerry Lawler tag matches now. So,
And aside from them pointing out their own obvious flaws of putting over the announcers and not the wrestlers. With that whole angle really is not helping out at all.
Yeah.
When you continue to pound that into the ground. Yes, we're doing a much better job putting over Michael Cole than Jerry Lawler than any of our young wrestlers. We're great.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, jackasses.
I guess to round off the Nexus conversation, I don't mind the new group other than Atunga. We talked about this week. He's just awkward. And that's the word I just keep using. He's just a weird-looking man.
I think I said it way back at the beginning. Like, he's just too bulky for whatever his height is. I don't know what it is, but, like, some guys, I don't know, they seem to, like, I guess Rhino never freaked me out at all, because he's kind of almost as wide as he is tall, but, you know, it's not like a proportionally, he's still not all that odd. Like, Otunga, and you kind of put it a decent way, too, is that he looks like a bodybuilder.
Yeah. He looks like one of those 6'4" bodybuilders on a 5'6" frame. I mean, even if he's probably taller, but that's what he looks like to me, at least.
Oh.
And just an awkward little man. An awkward man. I don't know how tall he is offhand, so.
He's maybe like 6 foot or something like that. Like, even in that group, he was pretty short. And it'll be nice. I mean, do we want to kind of splice this in with the spoiler talk here?
Yeah, that's where I was going, actually.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen SmackDown, you haven't seen SmackDown, you're listening to this on Friday, spoiler, you've been warned. I like what they're doing with Texas, and this is what they should have done a long time ago, is they split them up. And during Wade Barrett's match with Big Show, Gabriel and Slater show up and help him out. I like that idea a lot because it keeps the original members minus Otunga together, and then they get a new little faction. If you're going to do faction stuff like that, I think it's a good idea. Now, obviously, they'll probably lead to some stupid WrestleMania match with Nexus versus Nexus, but whatever.
It gives on Raw to me. It gives McGillicuddy and Harris a chance to finally do something,
mm-hmm.
which I think is good. And we've bitched and moaned for a while at this point that SmackDown doesn't have enough superstars. Well, they brought in the three highest members left of Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
With Barrett and Gabriel and Slater there. So, I mean, I think that is a positive development, too. Like, they needed more bodies over there. And even if we're still in the situation of it's all young, we've still got three more heels, which mm-hmm. is beneficial to everybody. And, Barrett can at least play in the mid-card role or something like that. And hopefully if – never mind. I was just going to say something about tag teams, but that's just
– yep, that's where I thought you were going. Damn, you got to cut me off.
Yep.
Yeah. No, you covered it. It's good. It's a good move for SmackDown, who needs the people, and it gives them an opportunity to do something. They've cut a lot of dead weight on SmackDown. Well, not dead weight. They cut a lot of weight on SmackDown, too. So they need to balance it back out. I think it's a good way of doing it. So, I don't know. That was really all about Raw. I mean, that was the only notable thing. Shawn Michaels inducted the Hall of Fame. I guess we can talk about that later. Once we get into the Hall of Fame induction stuff, I think that's a better place to talk about it.
Well, and just for me, something quick, I guess I don't understand why. Well, I understand why you picked Del Rio to get the super kick. And I do kind of what else is Shawn Michaels really going to say at this point? Like, he doesn't mm-hmm. really need promo time. And the crowd went bananas when he showed up, and they got a super kick out of it. So, what's there really to complain about? Like, the crowd got what they wanted, really. That's going to be the closest that they're probably – I know that they're chanting for one more match or something like that, which amused me, and Michael just shook his head no. And, that's really the best you're going to be able to do with him unless, he comes back in a general manager-type capacity.
And
I'm not saying I'm suggesting that. I'm just saying that, you're not going to get more out of Shawn. If he's truly, wants to get out of the business and be done with the wrestling aspect, at least, that's the only way you can really bring him back.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I guess this is going to be kind of bad, but did you miss him at all? I mean, it's just one of those that you just take for granted sort of thing. Like, he'd always be around and just wait for him to come back. But really, it didn't seem like there was a vacancy there. It didn't feel like there was a void that was left by him leaving.
No, because
it just seemed like life goes on.
Yeah, like it's just because there wasn't much for him to do. Like, outside of his two build-ups to his Undertaker fights the last 2 years, I'm not sure I could tell you what he really did aside from those things in that time frame. Like, I don't know what he did the other 9 months out of each of the last 2 years.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I know that he dicked around with Triple H some, and that's about it. You know, like, there isn't anything memorable. I don't think I remember going, oh, he might get one last title reign or, you know, anything like that. You know, it's just that there was nothing there. It was just like he was in matches, and I know that he had, oh, I guess he did have that long feud with Jericho.
Yeah, well, there was that too, but.
But even then, I guess with Jericho too, Jericho being gone, it's just kind of, I guess all the new faces have given us something to at least talk about. You know what I mean? I guess that helps not missing somebody. Some of these guys are doing well. Some of them are doing bad. You know, it is what it is. You know, some people are going to sink. Some people are going to swim. And I guess
I
they've had enough to replace Shawn Michaels, really. You know,
It's taken 15 wrestlers to replace one. But honestly, though, with what you're saying, though, you're exactly right. He was never really involved in that much at the end. It was always just one big match per year, and then he'd take off for a while and then come back, take off, and then, like, this time he's gone. Really, it's almost the same thing. He's been gone for a while, now he's back again for some reason.
yeah, he's back for the build-up to WrestleMania again.
But what a hell of a job. Nice work on his part.
I don't understand how Ric Flair can't handle that.
Stay
out of trouble, do nothing, and sit at home.
Yeah, since you mentioned him, let's just get into it.
Did we want to? We are kind of
getting
in the post half hour area.
Let's
here,
just get into it. Let's stop dicking around. TNA had a pay-per-view over the last week on something, whatever, and
Genesis, since I could not find the news that you wanted me to find. I don't know where it is.
Okay. Well, anyways, what were we going to talk about with Genesis? They had a pay-per-view called Genesis. And
our favorite
meeting
post.
Oh, God.
Favorite
meeting
post. He's got to be our favorite person to make fun of at this point, is he not?
Who's the first?
No.
What did you say?
No, he's our favorite.
I thought you said second favorite. Second favorite. So I was like, fuck no, he's number one now. So
yeah, he's taken over number one. I think there was somebody else before him, but I don't remember who the fuck it was.
Kurt Angle.
Oh, yeah.
And then he's relatively done nothing, so it's like, well, shit. Boring ass. Likely Matt Hardy's been there to fill the void. And by fill the void, I mean, fill the void. Like Homer, when he got all fat and had to plug the nuclear reactor on the Simpsons. That's what Matt Hardy reminds me of now. Matt Hardy, to no one's surprise, was Rob Van Dam's mystery opponent.
Well,
and
I guess it was marginally a surprise because TNA
are you retarded?
I'm not retarded, but TNA has done such a piss poor job of wanting me to think about who his opponent is that I honestly hadn't thought about it.
All right, I'll give you that one.
that literally, like, I'm like, whatever, they're putting in a new opponent in front of Rob Van Dam. Like, I honestly didn't think beyond that. I'm like, I just thought, oh, they're going to bring in someone dumb for this. And you know what they did? They brought in someone dumb for this.
What should have happened first before we just get on the Matt Hardy bashing? It should have been someone that Rob Van Dam goes, oh, man, and then beats him, and then Eric Bischoff goes, get the fucking out of here, and kicks the guy out for not beating Rob Van Dam. That's the history of these angles. That's how it usually works, unless it's someone gigantic that, you know, everyone's like, oh, my God, he's got to stick around, something like that.
Okay, yeah, you just did a very good job of summing up that part. A, whoever the mystery opponent is should get his ass kicked. B, he should get booted. C, yeah, like you said, if he's big enough, he sticks around. Like, it's got to be someone like the Big Show showing up or something, you know, if he's actually going to win, or, you know, some similar name that's just monstrous. And, well, D, which is another important part that we can get to a little bit later, but the person of interest that, you know, is being wanted, that the mystery man is blocking in the path, isn't he supposed to keep his title belt? I'm sorry, that was a piss poor way to explain things. Jeff Hardy should have kept his title belt. Like,
okay.
in order for this whole angle with Rob Van Dam to work out properly, he should have kept his title belt.
But you
which
don't,
is another, which is another important part of that equation.
But the whole problem with that is you don't put your championship belt on a guy who's facing drug charges, who just went to court and pled guilty to lesser. I mean, you don't do that shit. So, yes, you're exactly right. But in TNA's case, well, they're usually wrong, but, you have to do it that way.
Yeah.
No, there's two arguments here, which we're both on the same side of, but yeah, man, I mean, it does. Wow.
Yeah, no, TNA did not have an option, but, like, at some juncture during these last set of tapings, they knew that Jeff Hardy was going to have to go back to court. So do something different with that, with the Rob Van Dam angle.
Yeah.
I don't care if he, like, has he ever really, and maybe it's just because I stopped watching TNA for a month or two there, but, I mean, has he ever really, like, no matter whether Jeff Hardy got Abyss to beat him to a bloody pulp or not, has he ever really gotten revenge on Abyss?
I don't think so, no. My memory of TNA lasts as soon as that show went, and it's gone. So,
I don't really remember him getting a huge win over him at it. And he's only been back for, what, a pay-per-view or something like that? Two now, maybe? Two?
I guess.
Of course, they've probably burned up all of his fucking appearances that he has listed on his contract again.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a bunch of dumbasses, and he's not going to be able to get the championship belt again.
Right. Yeah. But you're exactly right, going back to that whole Jeff Hardy thing with Rob Van Dam, he should have fought somebody that he could have easily beat and not got a screw job loss from. It just stupid. Another way they could have booked this, and I know they wanted a surprise ending with Ken Anderson winning the belt. They could have, we're going to have to deal with the reality of TNA as it was at that moment. Jeff Hardy was their champion. He was having drug charges. You know, he's being brought up and got put guilty down to. So you have to get the belt off him. Well, why not have Matt Hardy just come out if you want to do it this way? They're having a match. Matt Hardy just lose his shit, beat down
Rob Van Dam with a chair, board, whatever. And then have Jeff Hardy come out all cocky and be like, you wanted your revenge so bad, why not, you know what, let's do it now. And Rob Van Dam, being the sporting guy he is, say, yeah, of course. And then have Rob Van Dam beat him. Wouldn't that have made a little more sense? I mean, instead of putting on Ken Anderson, I mean...
It would have made a lot more sense, actually.
Yeah.
That is a nice way to solve both of those problems.
And then you got the evil Bischoff, who's like, yeah, he's half dead anyways, go ahead. This is, and we say this every time we talk about this company, this is not hard to book. This is not hard stuff to write. It's just not. And if you don't want Rob Van Dam to have the belt long, that's what your next pay-per-view is for. You go, all right, Anderson, you're the number one guy. You're taking on RVD, a guy you haven't beat. We'll just put it like that. Even if they've wrestled once, I don't know. And you've got 5 weeks to build up the match. And then you have him win, and then you can go back to doing whatever you want with RVD.
Oh, yeah.
Boy, oh boy. But instead, we get Fat Hardy making a return with braided hair. Do you understand how funny that video was of him talking about getting a haircut, cutting a promo in front of Cracker fucking Barrel? Cracker Barrel. Have you ever eaten there? Have you ever been to a Cracker Barrel?
Yes, a number of times.
Okay. The healthiest thing on that menu is the water. That's it. Even their Coke is deep fried. I mean, there's nothing healthy on their menu there. For a guy who's supposedly trying to get into shape, and he's going to lose weight, and he's going to be in the best condition ever.
Yep, well, I bet you he can run 5 miles.
Well, hell, I could run 5 miles if I needed to. That's not saying anything. I mean, I think I could. I think my knee would hold out. But, yeah, but also, I'm not a fucking wrestler who's bragging about getting in the best shape of his life and cutting ridiculous promos and then speeding up his workout routines on YouTube videos.
Well, I thought the most telling thing about how out of shape he was the fact that that normally I would say sedate and level-headed Jason Powell, who doesn't tend to make fun of anybody, no matter how hefty they are, even said, wow, Matt Hardy is really fat for claiming to be in really good shape now. Like, you know, like, he doesn't usually take pot shots at the guy's physical shape, really.
Right.
And he nailed Matt Hardy.
But Matt Hardy also had that thing with getting pissed off and calling out Jason Powell about reporting stuff about Jeff Hardy that wasn't, or Matt Hardy that wasn't true. And Powell reacted back going, you have my phone number. Why don't you call me like a man or a person to talk about it instead of going public with this? And Jason was very smart in that he didn't bring it up ever again, because that's exactly what Fat Hardy wants to do. He wants people to see that and go, yeah, and rally to his side and rally against him and stuff. And it's just like, ugh.
Oh, I guess I missed that little thing.
Yeah, well, Powell does what I say you do with all of these people. Like, I just watched that, and I guess we're part of the problem. No, I'm not saying this, but all these nut jobs, like the Westboro Baptist Church. I just watched a documentary on those guys. Really underwhelming documentary, too. I was very disappointed, but anyway. You just ignore them. All of these people, they go bad press is good press. We're getting in the press. We're getting our name out there. And so people go to them. They gravitate towards them to find out what's going on with them, to get their name all over. I mean...
Yeah, no, we wouldn't have a site if we stopped making fun of people, so it's a bit of a problem.
Yeah, I know.
But you know, I mean, we have positive stuff up there, right? I guess. Yeah, I mean, like Taylor Wilde's retiring at age 24, and she's hot. Eric said hot, but I think she's more cute. And if she loses those ridiculous implants, she'd look even cuter. So we have our positive stuff. We're much more flattering of women on our site, and not just in like a total like, oh my god, I want to fuck you sort of way. But a majority of them is, oh my god, I would really like to lick your box sort of way. So I mean, yeah.
Yeah, no, I guess it's too tempting to not smack around people like that then. How does that sound?
Yeah, yeah, well, and especially with someone that's such an easy target, only because the more you goof on Matt Hardy, the more insane he gets. It's like poking the stick at the monkey in the cage. I mean, they're bouncing around so much by then, and it's just you're just jumping up and down like, this is fucking fantastic. Look what this thing's doing. And I told Eric I wanted to take his last video and put a yakety sack behind it. So when he's on his on the elliptical trainer, which is clearly sped up, how fucking funny that would be just to have that yakety sack behind it. God, that'd be so funny. Because everything's funny with that. So, but when it came to come to Jeff Hardy, though, they were in that position. And I don't know. I still don't see it in Ken Anderson or Mr. Anderson or whatever you want to say. I just don't see it still. He looks like an everyday guy trying to be a tough guy. There's no look to him anymore, I guess.
Yeah, I used to be really high on his mic work, and I don't think it's bad now, but I also am not that enamored with it either. You know, I think it's good, I guess, is the best way to put it. But it's not great. It's not like, oh, my God, I need to hear his next promo or anything.
Yeah.
That and just this whole, and I mean, I know that we're, well, whatever. The whole concussion thing was just ridiculous. I mean, okay, you know, if you bring it up once, that's fine. I think it's good that it's brought up and, you know, people have a little bit of attention to it. But, like, when it's your only skit week after week after week after week after week, for, like, two straight months, like, that was the only thing going on there. I'm like, enough. Like, I understand. Concussions are a problem. And then, like, exactly like Anderson said to, Mr. I can't get myself over either.
wait. I'm a TNA roster. We don't have enough time.
Matt Morgan.
Wait, let me go to the site. We'll play the guessing game. Let's see. Jesse Neal, Shannon Moore, Bully Ray, Steve Vaughn, Samoa Joe. I can keep going. AJ Styles. I know it's not what you want, but shit, that cracks me up. Mr. Jack can't get myself over. Have you seen their pay-per-view? There's about 30 guys on that thing that can't get themselves over. So, Jesus. What are those fucking dickhead security guy names?
Gunner and Murphy.
Oh my god, how do you know that? I clearly don't know shit about TNA anymore. I had no idea who those guys were. And right off the bat, you had them.
Yeah, it's because they made a big goddamn deal out of it. Like, they make the biggest deal out of nobody and the littlest deal out of somebody. You know, like, they've made more of a big deal about Gunnar Murphy than they have about Jeff fucking Hardy.
No, it was just your statement. They make the biggest deal out of nobody. Oh, like Jesse Neal or Shannon Moore or Samoa Joe. Yeah, but you're right. But a guy guy like Jeff Hardy or Rob Van Dam comes in, hey, here's this guy, blah, 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 blah. And
yeah,
then they're
like,
opening, they're in the opening match 2 pay-per-views later. Idiots.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's painful. Just painful.
Yeah.
In just so many respects, like, I just honestly can't believe that they're getting it together enough to have a house show outside of fucking Orlando.
Yeah, and it's Fayetteville. I don't know where Fayetteville, North Carolina is. Because that's the day after my birthday.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I mean...
So you want a shit sandwich for your birthday is what you're saying?
I know I'm bashing like crazy, but if it was cheap enough and close enough, I'd go and see a live Impact taping. Because they can't control what the what anyone does.
Yeah.
You know how fun that'd be? So,
oh, it'd be a blast.
I'm going to Yahoo Maps. I want to see what this is. So,
yeah,
I love it.
Well,
I love it when you put in, you go to Yahoo and you put in maps and it brings up Google Maps as the first one. No self-respect, motherfucker. Jesus. All right, let's see. Let's do Bring It All.
Yeah, well, in the meantime, I'm still debating whether it's worth driving to Dayton to go see Ring of Honor, which happens to be on a Friday, I think.
Well, you got a SmackDown taping coming up, don't you?
Yeah, tickets go on sale tomorrow for that.
I'll say it's 4 hours away.
Because,
so that ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. That's another dilemma that I kind of sort of have.
Okay, and I'm looking at the state of North Carolina. I have to drive through Charlotte to get there. Why not have the goddamn thing in Charlotte? Are you joking?
Can't sell out any of the arenas in Charlotte.
There's got to be smaller places in Charlotte. There's got to be smaller places in Charlotte. Or go up to fucking Greensboro. I mean, let's see. You can take 95 to, oh, my God, you can take 95 to 40. And you're in fucking Raleigh. Do that. I mean, I guess they can take 95 out of Fayetteville, too. I guess that's why. Okay. But, yeah, just whatever. You don't, if you want to be a real state, and no offense to anyone who's in Fayetteville, if you want to be a real company, go to a real city. You don't go to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Oh, that's a bad example.
Yeah, well, no, you don't, though. You don't go to Myrtle Beach to put on a TNA show. You know, it might be cool if you like the beach there or something. Fine, have at it. But it's not for a wrestling show. And, yeah, with Fayetteville, like, if the WWE, as far as I'm concerned, if the WWE doesn't go there, then it's not worth going to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to be like them. So, I mean, you go to Charleston, you go to Columbia, you go to Greenville. It was the Spartanburg one time. The Spartanburg show won't rag on because that Spartanburg Memorial Auditorium was an awesome place to watch wrestling. For a house show, that's an awesome place to watch wrestling.
Well,
You're 50 feet away from all angles, but that's not Impact, so you can't have it there.
Yeah,
but
I guess
you don't
that
do
makes
that.
Sense. If it's a house show, I can understand going to a smaller place. For a taping,
well,
you want
to
have...
Well, WWE used to have Spartanburg, so...
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but yeah. I know where you were going with that, but yeah. For a TV taping, you don't go to small.
Yeah, I mean, it just leaves you with more people to come to your show, at worst.
Yeah. And I'm sure... Who's that NASCAR guy they owe? Hermie Sadler? Was that his name?
Yeah.
They used to use all the time? I'm sure he's probably got something to do with Fayetteville, which is why they're going there. But I mean, if you're going to go, I mean, if you're going to go outside of the Impact, oh my God, I almost said Impact Zone. If you're going to go outside of Orlando, go to Jacksonville. You know, go to Athens, Georgia. Or no, I'm sorry, not Athens. Athens. Go to Savannah, Georgia. You know, that's right up 95. Go outside, but stay close and go to a bigger city. Savannah sort of qualifies, but, you know, we've all been a small town. But again, they've got the, it's a closer destination. It's probably cost or lower. But I guess Fayetteville, I mean, fuck, they'll probably beg you to come there. Nah, I don't know. How the fuck are we going to get on this? But anyway.
Because we're doing stream of consciousness on TNA because we never want to really talk about them, but we always feel the need to, and that happened to come up.
Yeah. I mean, it's a positive. They're going to live television. It really is. I mean, I know it's going to cost them money, whatever, but they've got to go to live.
Outside of Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
Because the counties that go there have got to be the same.
They are the same.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that they have some rotation of the people that are in there. I mean, there's got to be at least a couple of people that happen to go down there and they decide that they're going to, go catch a taping.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be weird seeing the Impact without a Thing 1 or Thing 2 shirt, like, on the hard camera side all the time. So... those other greasy messes that have been showing that show up like every week. So, no, I mean, I remember when, and I know they were chanting ECW, but when they were in Vegas for that one live show, that was awesome TV for them. It seemed spontaneous. It seemed alive because the fans were like genuinely, encouraged and happy and excited that they were there. I mean, even their pay-per-views that were in other areas, they seem to have the fans are really energized. I mean, and they let them know when stuff was shit, too. But they didn't buy into everything the way the Orlando crowd did, or they don't sit on their hands and sometimes justify it the way that the Orlando crowd does, because they're part of the show, damn it. So, it's a good move, it's a good business move, and they've got to do more of it. They just have to do more, so...
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, I don't know. I guess I'm kind of burned on TNA now. I just looked at the
clock
and I'm like,
wow, really?
I think we
had a good, fairly civil conversation about them.
Yeah, it started off kind of rough, but once you get out, I mean, any conversation with TNA first, and bringing Matt Hardy into the equation, and there's so much more to say about Matt Hardy, but it's like, why bother? And just, yeah, I'm not going to start. So let's just get out of here. I think it was a decent it was a decent number 125, so let's not screw it up. So I'm going to bail. We will be back later. Thanks for sticking up for 125. Remember, you can follow us on Facebook. No, wait, not Facebook. What's the other one? Twitter. That's it.
MySpace?
We are – no. People can follow us on Twitter. We are a Stunt Granny, or what is it, Twitter/Stunt Granny, whatever it is. And then, obviously, if you found the site, you're good. We have a forum, but I don't know. We have a forum, too, so you can find it on the website if you want to join up. So,
StuntGranny.net.
I'm going to bail. So we'll get everyone next time, and thanks for listening, thanks for reading, and you have a good day or evening, whenever you listen to this.
Okey-doke, grandkids. We're recording a little bit earlier, so you have a good evening, and I'm going to go nab my sippy time beer and have a good night.